Let the church say amen. Isn't God wonderful? All the time God is good. John 12 and verse number 32 says, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Isn't that why we're here? To be drawn to the cross this morning. Let the church once again say amen. This morning we want to speak from a subject that, and I don't plan on being very long today, I'll tell you up front, but then that's just my plan. Doesn't mean that's the way it'll go. But anyway, we're going to talk from the first chapter of the book of Corinthians, the verses number 18, but in particular, I want you to notice verse number 21, but it's going 18 through 25. Verse number 21 reads, "For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So we want to talk this morning about it pleased God. It pleased God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O righteous Heavenly Father, God of heaven, earth, creator and maker of all things, Father, we pray unto you this morning for the goodness that you have shown us, for the mercy you have given us, for the grace you have laid upon us, O Lord. Father, you woke us up this morning. We didn't wake ourselves up. You woke us up, and we thank you for that, O Lord. We're praying, O Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless this congregation, bless the leadership and their families, bless the membership and their families, but especially, O Lord, be with the sick and the shut-in of the congregation, that they may be on their road to healing. But if they're not being healed, O Lord, we know that your will shall be done. Father, we thank you this morning, and Father, we're coming to you because the world is in a panic right now, and we just ask you, O Heavenly Father, that only you can straighten this world out right now, and we're just asking you that if it be thy will, that you would come in and let us see the glory and the power of thy majesty, O Lord. Father, for we're concerned about the disease that seems to be running rampant right now. And Father, we don't know where it's at, but we're asking you, Lord, that if it be your will, that you would allow us not to panic and be panicked, but let your will be done. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hung, died, bled and died on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. Father, we thank you for all and everything you do for us. And we thank you for his cross, especially the day that he went to the cross, hung on Calvary's cross, and died for our safety, O Lord, our salvation. Thank you for everything, Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask all these blessings and more. Let the church say, amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Yet God has traits. Even though he is a spirit, he has traits sometimes like us. God can laugh, according to Psalms 42. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He can grieve, according to Psalms 45 and 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. He gets angry in Romans 9 and 13. He loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. So he hates as well. God can also be pleased. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. It pleased God. There are some things that we won't have enough time to go through. Many things that please God, but we just want to talk about a couple of them. God was pleased to bruise his Son. Jesus went through much bruising because it pleased the Father. He suffered for us because the Father loved the world. And because of this great love, God the Father, he gave his only begotten Son to save the world, according to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And because Jesus loved his Father, he gave the world his all. In Isaiah chapter 53 in the verses number 10, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He that hath put him into grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Christ not only went through a state of suffering, but he was to be humiliated because of the Father. Jesus became our substitute. He gave his life a ransom for many, according to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. When the verse said it pleased God to bruise him, God did not physically bruise him. God did not take a whip or a stick and beat Jesus. But God, since he didn't physically do it, he permitted men to do such. He was going to permit men to do such. Jesus was a man of grief. He knew sorrow and he knew pain. But he also suffered spiritually. He suffered at Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 20, in the 26th verse of Matthew, when the God of heaven forsook him on the cross, so much so that he called out to the Father and asked him, "Why did you forsake me, or why have you forsaken me?" In Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 46. God affirmed his love toward Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 17, where he said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So God loved Jesus and was pleased with Jesus. You know, one of the things that I often say and I often think to myself is that I just hope that God is pleased with the life that I live. I hope that God is pleased with the life that you live. But you have to ask for yourself. I can only suggest to you what you should be doing. So when I think about it, look at the text again of verse number 21. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God is pleased to reveal Christ to others. We as Christians have an important mission here on this earth. Not only are we to live for Christ, but we are to let others see Him through us. You know what that means? That means when you turn on your light should continuously burn. In Galatians chapter 1 in the verses 15 and 16, it says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." And then verse 16 says, "To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the brethren, the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." The writer began to preach without the consultation of men, for he trusted in the Lord and he knew God would be with him. All of us who are believers are converted so by the grace of God. We are to be a shining light that should not wear out before they burn out, but they should burn out before they wear out. In other words, never stop letting others see Jesus in you. When we stop shining, it should be only upon our death. And then you should go to the grave with your light, you should go to your death with your light so burning. Preachers. Oh yeah, well, I have to get on the preachers for a minute too. Preachers are to preach Christ and Him crucified, that others may come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin. We are living in a world that is in need of knowing and acceptance of the ways of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 in the verses 14 and 15, we are to do all things without grumbling or disputing. In verse 15 it says, "That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among them among whom ye appear as lights in the world." You are to let your light shine so that the dark world may see the good light of Jesus Christ in you. The simplest way to put it is that all of us is to be what we call ourselves. We call ourselves Christians, but we are to be show that we are Christians. We are not to be ashamed to be called a Christian. You know, many folks only like to be called Christians on Sundays. They only like to be called Christians when they're at church among other Christians. But I'm telling you this morning, you need to let your light so shine that everybody would see that you are a Christian. You know, one of the greatest compliments in this world to me is when somebody walks up to you and say, what church you go to? I know you are a Christian. That's a good thing. When we live the way God calls for us to live, we can be pleasing unto Him as well. God was pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save. Preachers are to do one thing at all times. That is to preach the Word of God. Preach the Gospel of Christ, which can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verses number 3 and the verses number 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. We are to preach according to the Scriptures. We are to preach not what we want to preach, but according to the Scriptures. In the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 21 and verse 21 again, it says, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When you think about it, church, it's preaching that will get us to understand the Word of God a little better. It's preaching, if a preacher is preaching from the Scriptures, he can teach you the Word of God. Do you remember the disciples who were chosen by Jesus to carry the message of that saving grace through Christ Jesus? They were to preach the same gospel that we are to preach today. It pleased God then and now when it is preached according to the Word of God. A preacher should be willing to let all know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Preachers should be willing to preach the gospel in season and out of season. To preach the gospel when the people want to hear you and to preach it when they don't want to hear you. Preach it anyhow. For the gospel never goes out of style. You know, I'm a witness to that because you can take a gospel preacher and that gospel preacher can take one message. You know, John only had one message that he preached all the time. That was repentance and be saved. And a preacher today can teach a message about Christ over and over again, and you should never tire of it as long as the gospel of Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. God's Word, according to Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, will never return to Him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall end the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, what God says His Word is going to do, it shall do it, and it's not going to come back to Him without the meaning that His Word will always have the same effect. It might take it some time, but Word will always be just what it meant, just what it's meant to be. We must accept and do the will of God. When we present ourselves before Him, we should want to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, well done." We should want God to be pleased with our living so that our dying will not be in vain. When you think about a church, you know, being a Christian, sometimes it seems like we're taking a hard way to being a Christian. It sometimes seems as though no matter what I do, things still seem to go wrong. Well, that's because you're living in a world that's so full of temptation, evilness, that sometimes things are going to touch you as well as those who are not believers. But God knows best. God knows the right time, the right place, the right hour, the right minute to just continue to bless us. When I think about it, When I look at that scripture again, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, God, if you believe in God, God can save you. I pray that when the day that when my death comes, that I should, when the day of judgment comes, I should say that my life won't be lived in, will not have been lived in vain. We need to be thankful for God for sending His Son to bring us unto the gospel, the glorious gospel, and for giving us salvation. Because none of us, not one of us, could have stood a chance without Jesus. When he said in John 12:32, like I mentioned up front, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was speaking of how that he should die on the cross and be lifted up before men for men to see. When I think about it, I owe God so much, and you owe God so much. We can never repay God for what He has done for us. We could never repay, we couldn't pay our own way out, so obviously we can't pay God. So when you look at the text once again, in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In other words, we believe what we read and we listen and we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that when you have faith, this faith, this grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and trees. You can move things that are impossible in your life to move without faith. So look at verse number 18 again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God knows best. God knows how to make wisdom out of nothing. He knows how to make safety out of, He knows how to make us safe out of salvation. Isn't that right, church? Amen. For after that, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God is able to lift us above this world in which we live. God is able to get us out of what we're in today. And I know that we are concerned and we're worried about things. I know that we have things that we'd like to know what's going to become of. But we can't see farther than we can look with our eyes. But God can see all the way through. God sees from the beginning until the end. We can only see what we can see from our eyesight. In other words, I can see back to the back, but I can't see past the doors because the doors are there. But God can see everything. He knows everything. He is the best of everything. He gives us His best, and we ought to give Him our best if we want to be pleasing unto Him. And when you consider, church, why would you not want to be pleasing unto God? Why would you not want to have God say, I am well pleased with my servant? And I think about it sometimes, and I ask the question of myself sometimes, am I doing all that I can do? Are you doing all that you can do? Are you living your life the best that you can? Are you asking God to guide you? Are you asking God to help you to get through this time and this trouble, these troubled times that we're going through? So when you consider all of the facts of this world in which we live in, all of the things that are going on, ask yourself the question, is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with my life? Is God accepting of how I live my life? You know, there are some things that bother me sometimes. There are some things that I ask of myself. See, I can't take an inventory of you. Only you can take your own inventory. I have to take my inventory of me. And when I ask the question of myself from time to time, am I living the way I should? I find myself falling short. And if you be honest with yourself, you may find yourself falling short too. But then I say to myself, I want to be pleasing unto the Lord. But then I'm human. And things take over sometimes. And I become not pleasing unto the Lord. I know I'm not. Because I don't please myself sometimes. So I know I can't please the Lord. But then I think about how can I best serve the Lord? How can I best live a pleasing life? How can I best say have the Lord say, I'm pleased with Him. It pleased Him. Then I have to go to the text, go to the Scriptures. And then I have to find out, where am I short at? Where am I coming up short? How can I live a better life? How can I do better for myself and then teach others to do better? And then I find the answer. You know what the answer is? Trusting in the Lord and living by His Word. And you see, I must have faith. If I don't have faith, then I may as well just give up, because I can either ask God to give me more faith or I can give up. If I ask God to give me more faith, I don't expect to see faith come and knock on my door. But I expect faith to, I trust in the faith that the Lord has put in me. And I ask you, do you have faith this morning? If God came in this morning, would He say to you, it pleased God, would it please me? And so when I go back to the text and I think about it, how that the preaching of is foolishness to those who don't believe and it's salvation to those who do believe. But then I think about the gospel, how that Jesus died, buried, and was how he was crucified, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And He got up and came out of the grave. Isn't that wonderful thought, church? Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thought to know that Jesus is alive and well? We may not be so well, but God is well, alive and well. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And if you want to be a part of the Lord's will, and you want to live faithfully and righteous in His sight, you need to come to Him. How do I come to Him? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already been to Him, but you've walked astray. And sometimes many of us walk astray. We walk astray because life tends to get the best of us sometimes. We walk astray because sometimes temptation gets the best of us. We walk astray because sometimes we just don't trust in the Lord that He knows what He's doing. And you say, well, I never not trust in the Lord. Well, when you don't do what he tells you to do, that's not trusting in Him, isn't it? When you think about it, have you lived your life that God can say it was well-pleasing? Think about it, and then if you haven't been lived up to that, you need to go back to God. Ask, if you've already been baptized, you need to go back to God, ask Him to forgive you. Then come forward and ask the church to pray for you. And I'm going to take a moment here. I think I got a moment or two here. Amen. I'm going to take a moment or two here to just say, you should never be ashamed to come before the church and ask the church to pray for you. Amen. You should never be ashamed to ask the church to intercede on your behalf. Don't you stop praying, but it's all right to ask for help in getting a little help in your prayer life. Now, everybody in here, out of everybody in here, there's somebody in here that can get a prayer through to God. Now, it may not be me, It may not be the elders, but somebody in here can get a prayer up to God. And you need, if you need to come before the church, never be ashamed. And when you get up here, never turn away from the church and say, and speak like this. Face the church because you want the church to pray for you. You want the church to pray for you, and I need to know what am I praying for or who am I praying for. I can see your back, but I need to see your face. So think about it, church, and if you haven't put on Christ yet, you need to do it by baptism. Brother Jackson will baptize today. There's no holiday when it's the Lord's Day. Brother Jackson is always willing and ready to baptize. If this is your desire, we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 454.